That set the tone perfectly.
And I'm scared.
I'm a little scared.
I'm a little spooked out.
I'm a little scared of ghosts. Yeah.
Are you afraid of ghosts?
Well, we just watched the trailer. Oh, anyway, hey, welcome back.
Hey, it's us again.
I feel like, what if someone's just listening to this for the first time?
Oh, this is the war on pop culture. I'm Mike Vivenzio.
I'm
a co-host. That's a co-host, Rob Ang. And we're about to get a little creepy.
Creepy crawlers.
And this is our second beer.
Yeah. We're drinking an Oscar Blues IPA at the moment, and this is fairly new for the Oscar Blues Brewery, one of my faves.
And it's pretty good.
It's delish.
It's a scary good. Call it Oscar Blues. That was so dumb.
That was good. That was good. Anyway, welcome back. We're going to be talking about movies now, specifically M. Night Shyamalan, because he has a new movie out, an original thriller.
Called The Visit.
The Visit.
Rob just saw the trailer.
Well, so did you.
Well, yeah, I saw the extended trailer for the first time, which is even scarier than the one on TV. And we're going to get into a nice little M. Night discussion. First off, we're going to talk about the movie that's coming out. Much like every M. Night horror movie that's ever come out, the trailer looks great.
Well, let's just say this.
But will the movie
I want to tell you that horror movies generally have great trailers.
This is true.
How many bad horror movie trailers have you seen? Like, most of them are really good because they know the movie sucks.
Yeah, so and they have drag to put the best parts of the movie into the trailer, and that's pretty much it.
And it's not hard to make a horror movie trailer.
No.
You start out happy, family, laughing, and then boom. The music gets really ominous and dark, and then something creepy
boom,
happens.
Pop up, and then boom, right. At least in this case, grandma's scratching at a wall for whatever reason.
That was creepy.
And that was pretty creepy. Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
I don't know what's going to happen when I open this door, Mike.
My grandmother's out there.
Yeah, right? She's going to be scratching. I'm a little bit worried. But yeah, it's a horror movie with a good trailer, but like you said, we've been duped many a times before.
Oh, M. Night's gotten me a few times. I think everyone can agree, or most people can agree, The Sixth Sense was a great movie. Great, great movie. It was horrifying. It was his first movie, and then after that,
it's his first good movie.
First good movie.
Did you know he made two movies before The Sixth Sense?
No, and I might not even
want to
know.
You don't need to. He actually made a comedy, his first movie, called Praying with Anger.
Okay.
Fun fact.
Rob has this... I think he has the biography of M. Night Shyamalan right now.
I literally have two biographies of M. Night Shyamalan.
What's his date of birth?
Date of birth? August 6th, 1970.
Scary.
Fun fact... The M in M. Night Shyamalan stands for...
Murder!
It should. It really should. But it's Minaj.
Oh, Minaj. Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's Minaj.
Minaj.
Or Menoj.
It's a miss. It's a twist. He'll leave
it's
us
a
hanging
twist.
Till
you'll
the day
never
he
know.
Dies.
You'll never know. But like you were saying, yes, The Sixth Sense came out in 1999.
Was great.
A remarkable film. I mean, Bruce Willis and Haley Joel with the whole ghost thing. That was crazy.
Horrible.
Oh, by the way, this is going to be full of spoilers.
Oh, well,
we can't discuss
this
without spoiling all the movies. And by now, if you haven't seen The Sixth Sense...
I mean, if you haven't seen The Sixth Sense at this point, that's on you.
The other movies,
we're doing you a favor. Don't ever watch these
this
movies.
This is like a public service announcement.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch pre-2002, like...
M. Night. Minaj Night Shyamalan.
Oh, wait. Fun fact number two.
Oh, lay it on me.
Fun fact number two... His middle name, Knight, was made up during college.
Oh, it's not a real name?
How crazy is
that?
What a twist!
That's a twist! And it gets a little... Alright, that button was titled Creep, and I thought it was going to be a lot creepier than that. A twist!
To be fair, you flinched. Yeah, I thought you were going to fall off your seat.
I wasn't ready for that.
Alright, but yes, like we were saying, Sixth Sense, great movie. I still love that movie.
Great, I still love this. I'm movie? Still afraid to watch The Sixth Sense.
Right.
I mean, maybe because we saw it at such a young age, but that movie really got me.
It is a very scary movie. Just in general terms, it's just a really scary movie. And yeah. It's awesome because... Was that movie rated R or was it rated PG-13?
PG-13.
That's the crazy part about that movie. There's like hangings and there's slitting wrists.
The hanging always gets me.
No, what gets me is that scene.
The crawl space?
Oh, no, that's crazy.
The tent.
The tent gets me.
The tent.
But the crawl space, because you use your imagination, you're like, I don't know what is going on in there.
And I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I really feel bad for that kid. But the tent, his only safe haven. Where he felt comfortable and safe, he could hide from all of the things he was seeing. Nope, that
puking ghost was right in there.
And I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this. If I was him, death, suicide.
Yeah,
just wouldn't want to live after seeing that.
That's a bit intense.
No more. No, if you were that kid, you would go nuts, right?
But think about it. If he died. He would still be in that apartment, and he'd see all those ghosts. Would he see them?
Like, you just ruined the plot for Sixth Sense 2.
2. The Seventh Sense.
The Deuce. The Deuce is back.
But, okay, so Sixth Sense, as we said, great movie. After that, it's been a long list of disappointments.
Okay, no, to be fair, M. Night Shyamalan did have a decent string of movies. The next movie was Unbreakable, good movie.
I've never seen it.
Whoa.
And I've actually heard nothing but good things about that movie.
Very good movie. And, like, you're a comic book guy. This is strictly like a comic book feel of a film with, like, superheroes and stuff.
Even crazier thing. I own it. And I've never seen it. I think it was given to me as a gift, and I've 15 years, I haven't gotten around to seeing it. But one of these days, it's downstairs.
Guaranteed you like it.
I probably would
guarantee
like it.
Like
I heard
it.
It's great.
Unbreakable, very, very good movie. And then 2002, he made Signs. Which I really like. You liked it.
Rob was with me. We saw this back in 2002 together. One of our friends. And they claim I was terrified during Signs. I don't think I was that bad.
Mike was almost on the floor fear. Like, the only time
I've seen... The basement scene was pretty creepy, but...
You were creeped out a lot of the times. Yeah, you were really creeped out.
When he pops up in that party.
Oh, man, that was really creepy. But the whole thing is that the ending is so disappointing in Signs.
It's such a letdown.
They could have spent a couple more dollars on CGI to make this alien look a little bit more...
Not stupid, right?
You know, stupid. It's just we see the alien and we literally just laughed.
Yeah,
because it's a really big build up and hype and just like, oh my god, these aliens are taking over. And just like the Sixth Sense crawl space scene, Signs had a lot of scenes where they don't show you what's happening. The scene in the basement, he drops the flashlight. The camera just stays on the flashlight while apparently Joaquin Phoenix, Mel Gibson are wrestling an alien away from their child. Like that's cool. That's freaky. You hear the voices. You see the dust being kicked around. That's cool. But then finally, when they show you the actual alien, like that took away from everything.
Absolutely everything.
I still personally like Signs. I think it had really, really cool themes and, you know, issues that they were hitting upon with him being, you know, the former priest and his wife dying. I really liked a lot of the topics in that film. But yes, I agree. The ending was pretty bad. But I would still put that in his prime time good movies.
Signs is my second favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie. Well, because I haven't seen Unbreakable. I'm sure that would be number two had I seen it. And then he follows it up with The Village.
The Village.
Which I had a lot of high hopes for, much like The Visit. The trailer was terrifying. I thought The Village was going to be great.
The Village is... Definitely.
The trailer was great.
I remember the trailer now, and it was really, really good. And you know it's from M. Night Shyamalan. And after seeing films like Signs and The Sixth Sense, you're like, you think you know what you're going to get into.
I feel like The Village was his first big disappointment. Because even though Signs, you know, like we just said, the alien, they could have made him look a little bit more realistic. It made a ton of money.
Well, all these movies made a lot of money.
The Village did it, though?
The Village
Of course, Rob has everything right here.
The Village made $257 million.
Get the shut the front door.
With only a $60 million budget.
Well, okay. So I have nothing to say.
But the thing is, it's because he was still riding his
that
success.
High, yeah.
This was his prime. And I want to say that The Village isn't a bad movie. It was just completely marketed wrong and very, very deceiving to the audience. You see that trailer, and you know M. Night Shyamalan in the past. You're like, this is going to be freaky. They made it like a horror trailer.
Yeah.
It's going to be freaky. It's going to be really suspenseful, thrilling. It's not. Basically like a drama, you know? It's a drama with a kind of crazy guy character that likes to dress in a costume and a community that wants to protect its children from the outside world. There were twists, yes, but...
I mean, that twist... In The Village.
It's a cheap twist, but...
It's the cheapest twist.
But it's a twist, nonetheless.
Ever. Ever.
I think that is where M. Night definitely began to get his bad reputation.
Yeah.
He got his bad reputation of having twists in movies, so he couldn't avoid that. And yes, he duped the entire audience thinking that this was going to be a horror movie. It was not a horror movie. And... So that was the start of his decline.
That was the start of his decline.
But I want to just like pause right here and say, during this era of Sixth Sense through Signs, even kind of Village, but The Village was the start of his decline. I want to say personally, he was one of my favorite directors, and I was pumped.
Oh yeah, I was pumped for the new M.
Not only were we pumped, I think the whole world was like, this might be the next best director in our generation.
I can't believe that movie made as much money as it did. I can't get over that. That's insane. So yeah, I would agree. There was a lot of buzz
because there were a
him.
Lot of great things about The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and even Signs that you're like, this guy. I mean, his idol is like Alfred Hitchcock. Like he's close to that. He can do these type of things. He does a lot of interesting, and like Hitchcock, he's kind of in every one of his movies. It's interesting how he likes to do that. So yes, I was so pumped. Any single time it was like M. Night Shyamalan, I'm like, yes, I'm there. But then then it happened. It happened.
Is it? And the next one's Lady in the Water.
Next one's Lady in the Water.
I didn't see that. And I remember, too, like, when that came out, Giamatti's stock was at least at its highest. That was after Sideways.
Giamatti
was starting to, like, really get a lot of buzz, and even the Giamatti buzz wasn't enough to get me into the theater.
Lady in the Water.
The reviews, when that came out initially, were so bad. They destroyed Lady in the Water.
I got it right here. 24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, they massacred that movie. So the critics' response alone was enough to keep me out of the theaters. But people I know who saw it said it was
very bad.
Yeah,
and it's funny because you haven't seen it, but I've seen it. It's funny because while you're watching this movie, you literally think this guy there's no story. This guy is literally making up as it goes along. Another fun fact.
He was.
That's kind of what happened with this movie. Apparently, he said that this movie started with him telling his children kind of a spooky fairy tale, and then he decided to make that into a movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to go, Shyamalan.
It was so bad.
Just take my $12 and tell me this stupid fairy tale that you're telling your kids at night.
It was very, very bad. The only decent thing, it was like, this might have been one of the first movies that Bryce Dallas Howard was in.
She was in The Village.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
She was in The Village, yeah.
Okay, so M. Night
and
Bryce.
There's nothing good
about this movie. It was really bad. It was very disappointing. And and not only...
I'm reusing that one for life.
Not only was it a disappointment, but it was the first one to actually reflect at the box office because it only made $73 million with a $70 million budget. So, yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Throw marketing on top of everything and, you know, whatever. It was not good. It was just...
The trailer didn't even get me for that one. I remember seeing the trailer and being like, what is this?
Like,
a werewolf?
Happening?
What is this?
It was, honestly, I don't even remember the story now. All I remember is there's something about cereal boxes, and it was so ridiculous.
No.
It was really bad.
And then on to ridiculous, because I know the next one. And this is where I got off the M. Night train. I didn't see a single one after this, so I'm going to probably... I won't have much to say after this one, but The Happening... Oh
the
my
happening.
God, what a horrible
That was
movie.
A real... Honestly, I want to just for the record, I think this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my
life. Maybe ever seen, yeah.
One of the worst. It'll be like top three or five worst movies I've ever sat through. Arguably the worst movie I've ever seen in a theater. Because I fucking...
You saw that in the theater.
I paid money for this movie because I was still... I'm like... My boy,
M. Night.
My boy, M. Night's gonna make a comeback here. He's gonna make a comeback. This looks scary. I got this, you know? No.
But that trailer was really creepy. Do you remember, like, the people falling off the building? The guy laying in front of the lawnmower? Wahlberg? Like, what is he doing
Wahlberg
in this movie?
Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, she's in that.
Zooey Deschanel is in it. So, like, there's a reason to watch this movie. I like both actors. And... Ooh, man, that was a big mistake. It was
horrible. Horrible movie.
And we're not the only ones. It received a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. Surprisingly, you could be surprised.
It made money. I know it made money. I know this piece of crap made money.
It made $163 million with a $48 million budget.
It made that much money?
It quadrupled its...
this is our last podcast. After this, me and Rob are going to make a movie about a fairy tale that we're going to make up tonight after finishing these beers.
He made a ton of money from that movie, from that garbage.
Garbage. Toilet paper
Absolutely
movie.
Absolutely garbage. But, like you said, the trailer was really effective.
Really creepy.
Very creepy. There was... To be fair... The death scenes were pretty creepy in the movie. It just made no sense what was going on.
It was just
the storyline was just terrible, and I think M. Night forgot that you need a good story first, and then throw in good creepy scenes.
He's like, oh, I got creepiness. What did we forget? Oh,
it's like he had a piece of like paper. He was like at school jotting down some cool death scenes, and he just put them all in this movie and forgot that there was a story.
He could have just made Faces Death like 8, and it'd have been the same thing.
Yeah, pretty
much.
For
anyone out there that have seen these horrible movies, Faces.
I don't know. It's like sometimes I feel like these directors and these writers/directors kind of get into their own head when they make something good.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh man, I'm gold. Anything I write is going to be amazing. And then they write something that's like somewhat good, but not as good as The Sixth Sense. He's like, all right, I'm still good. I still got this. And then he just every single thought he has, he thinks is amazing.
Well, apparently, I mean, people were kind of fueling the fire though. If this movie made that much money, like he's like, it might have sucked, but I just made so much money off of it.
It really does amaze me how much money that movie made.
And then what do we have after? Is it the Airbender?
The Last Airbender. Okay. He would make a movie every 2 years, it seems, because from Unbreakable 2000 to Last Airbender 2010, it's every other year. So he's been rocking those even years. And Last Airbender, yeah, that's based off of the cartoon, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that at all, but I thought it was a very odd choice to have M. Night Shyamalan do a story like that.
It was the twist.
That is a twist.
It was the Shyamalan twist.
Just for the record... It is, out of all of Shyamalan's movies, the lowest rated film on Rotten Tomatoes at a measly 6% was The Last Airbender.
Now, have you seen The Last Airbender?
I have not.
I haven't either, but all I can say is this. My good friend took his kids to see that movie. And you have to think about this, too. How many movies you saw as a kid that... were probably terrible.
Oh, but plenty.
You found enjoyable. I mean, we grew up in the generation where I didn't leave Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Oh, yeah. I still like that movie, but I haven't seen it since.
I sat through a lot of horrible movies. I made my parents sit through these horrible movies.
The Adam Sandler movies in our,
in the last podcast.
Right.
His kids, halfway through that movie, said, and they must, I think they were 5 and 7 at the time, said, Dad, if you want to leave right now, we can leave. That's how bad this movie must have been. I didn't see it, but kids 5 and 7 said, you know what? This isn't worth our time right now. There's so many other things we could be doing with ourselves. So, yeah.
Fun fact. The Last Airbender is M. Night Shyamalan's third highest grossing movie. $320 million it made.
No.
You just gave up on life.
No,
you just gave up on life.
I'm done.
I think because it had the whole cartoon aspect to it, it was a family type of friendly thing. It had a following because of the original cartoon. I think that's why.
Say it again. $320 million.
Yes.
Oh my god. There's no hope. There's no hope for...
There's no movie god.
Excuse me. Rob's going to just continue this. I'm going to jump out the window of my apartment right now.
It's a twist. He's not really going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. Or am I? I don't know.
What was that?
That was me jumping out a window! Or was it?
So, I want to just say that it seems like that was when Night Shyamalan was like, wait a second. Either him, or not, probably not even him, but the studios were like, wait a second. This guy has lost it. This guy has gotten off the rails.
Has he? No. He's making that much money?
No, he lost it. He absolutely lost it. So, his next movie, he was involved with, but he didn't write, nor did he direct it. But it was kind of like produced by the director of Sixth Sense and Signs, you know, M.I. Shyamalan, and that was that movie Devil.
That's a great movie.
I like that movie.
Great movie.
That was the movie in the elevator, for those who don't know it. That was actually a very entertaining...
Love Devil.
Very good, thrilling horror type of movie.
With a real twist.
With
the
legit twist of that movie,
that we won't spoil because it's not a really known movie.
Right,
you should really go and watch Devil.
But I'm going to say, the trailer was good.
Yeah.
Linked me into it. The funniest thing, though, about that is that with that trailer and you see M. Night Shyamalan's name attached to it, that's the one thing that got me away from it.
Yeah, I was like, do I want to see
it in theaters?
Because of that.
Right.
But I saw it when it came out on DVD, and it's a great horror film.
It's a legit movie. Really good movie. For those who are like iffy about it, honestly, it's a really short movie. I want to say it's like 80 minutes.
If that.
It's quick, definitely under 90, and that was the reason why I watched it, because if it is bad, it's a waste of your time. You didn't really waste that much time.
Yeah.
It's different from, like, I'm going to watch Gone with the Wind and not like it. I just wasted almost four hours of my life. You know, this is a movie that you can really just have on in the background, but you can get sucked into it. It's good. It's a good thriller.
It's good. It's worth the 80 minutes, all right?
So that kind of got M. Night back on there. He's just like, all right, you know, this M. Night, he can produce these films. He's coming back on the rise. And what did he do in 2013? He made this film called After Earth. After Her Earth, starring Will Smith and his son.
And Jaden Smith. That's right. I was trying to think of which one that was.
Now, funny thing is that Will Smith has a very luxurious career doing these sci-fi type of movies. If you think about all Will Smith's really top grossers, like Independence Day and Men in Black, lots of money.
Yeah. Sci-fi.
He's playing, the same genre, almost the same character. There was no reason to think this movie was going to be bad or bomb.
Oh, but it bombed.
But did it bomb? It did bomb with M. Night Shyamalan and Will Smith's expectations. It did make $244
million. I can't.
But it was $130 to make it, and it was considered a bomb. I think that number is worldwide, though. So domestic.
I'm assuming it's worldwide. Right. There's no way it made that.
I'm pretty sure that didn't make over 100.
I forgot
it was
that was a
100.
Movie.
Yeah.
Until just now.
Yeah. I feel like Will Smith was only in that just to give his son a boost.
Well, good for Jay.
There's no reason for Will Smith to ever be in a movie again.
Ever again, if you think about it. He has so much money. I mean, even his bad movies made a ton of money. I think I saw Wild Wild West twice in the movie theaters. Maybe twice. I think I saw that twice.
You saw it twice?
Yeah, once wasn't enough. I had to go back for more.
Once is never enough with Will Smith.
That's my point. He made a ton of money.
Will Smith has made plenty of money-making movies. There was a point when he was legitimately the biggest movie star.
Everything he touched was gold.
The biggest movie star. And then he just was... Probably smartly so. He's just like, I'm going to stop making movies.
Yeah.
I don't need to do this anymore. Yeah. Why would you
After
do
After Pursuit
this?
Of Happiness, you know, you forgot about Will Smith for a long time.
That was his, like, go at, like, I want an Oscar now.
And, no.
But everyone's like, no, you're still Will
not
Smith.
Not happening, Will Smith.
You're not that good. And that brings us to this year, where M. Night Shyamalan did... He directed and produced a TV show on FX called The Wayward Pines. Have you heard of that show?
I heard that was good, though.
Got 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I heard that was actually really good.
I believe it's like a limited series, so it's just like a one season and then done type of thing. I heard good things, too. But I don't know personally anyone that watched it.
Alright, my father watched it, but my dad literally watches everything. It's hard for me to find a show that he has not watched, so I can't put too much stock in
it. Mike, I'm going to put this out there.
He did like it, though.
I'm going to put this out there. I want your dad on one podcast episode.
Oh, he... for a TV special, we don't even have to say a word. He'll just take the stage.
On a future podcast episode. I think that would be amazing.
He literally watches everything.
That would be great.
That would be absolutely great. The Emmy portion, he would have ran the show. He's like, oh, this show I know. This I watch this all the time.
But does he also watch, the reality shows?
Yes. No. Everything.
Everything. I'm misunderstanding everything not everything.
Like, literally everything. Yeah.
And that brings us to The Visit.
We mentioned before, he's fooled us in the past. You know, fool me once, M. Night, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. This might be the sixth time you're fooling me, if it doesn't wind up being good. But it looks pretty good. It's coming out at a very good time. You know, it's going into that fall, like Halloweenish.
Let's kind of analyze this trailer that we just saw. What can we take from this movie?
You know, it seems like something's up with Grandma.
So it's these two kids. So it's these two kids that get sent off to grandma and grandpa's for what seems like a weekend.
Like families on vacation.
Right, right.
And they go to grandparents.
And like all horror movies, everything starts out nice and daisy. They're like, oh, grandma, grandpa, they're so fun. You know, they let us eat whatever. They are playing games with them. They live in a nice secluded house in the woods.
But why do we have to go to bed at 9:30?
And why can't we leave our room after 9:30?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And then grandma starts scratching on walls.
Yeah.
And then grandpa seems very friendly, but there's something up with
him. Some of the grandpa. Why is he holding that gun?
That gun.
Why is he cleaning that gun?
Thought he was going to blow his brains out.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know what? That's probably the Shyamalan twist right there. Grandpa's dead, and grandma is a demon.
Let's guess the twist right now.
Guess the twist?
Let's guess the twist. Let's play a game called Guess the Shyamalan Twist.
Guess the twist.
Come on down.
Oh, perfect.
I see dead people.
I should have really done that minutes ago.
I can't believe you just
You just went out of your
that's perfect. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. Well,
I think, how about...
Is there another
one? I can smell you.
Alright. The Visit. We're going to try to guess the twist. The movie's not out yet. We have no idea.
But you have to think like Shyamalan, right now.
So we're gonna expect
it's not gonna be a simple twist,
right? We're gonna expect the movie where the kids are going over and the grandparents. There's something up with the grandparents. What is exactly up with them? Are they possessed? Are they turning into werewolves? Like you said, is it like a Little Red Riding Hood type of thing going on?
I'm just naming a lot of other Shyamalan twists.
Yes,
and
I am.
You know what?
But he does.
As you're saying all this, the thing that pops into my head, and I'm sticking with it. Aliens. Grandma is an alien.
Grandma is an alien.
And when they spill water on her by accident, she's gone.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Because his movies tend to... There's always a theme that is very heavy, heavy... That you know, in Signs, there's like, oh, you gotta believe in these... Like, it's even called Signs.
Yeah.
There's even a... freaking rant that Mel Gibson goes on, like, yo, are you the type of people that sees things and believe in coincidences, or are you gonna believe that they're a sign, that they're telling you something? Like, he says it. So what can be, it's called The Visit.
Visited by aliens.
Visited by aliens.
And bodies taken over.
You're sticking with...
I think it might be about an alien.
Aliens.
Or, you know, you just said possessed, maybe visited by a demon.
I feel like that would be...
Spirit of sorts.
But I feel like you said, I feel like when he does twist, they're a little bit outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I would say aliens or demons is a little bit, like, too on the nose.
Especially for a Shyamalan movie.
Fair. The Happening was very on the nose. It was just like, you're killing the environment will kill you back. So, yeah, I think we're giving him a little bit too much credit right now.
Yeah.
Aliens or possession. I think that's our twist. But
you know
what? Really a twist.
I want to say
there's something with the parent. There's something with mom. Mom's orchestrating all of this.
Oh, maybe get rid of the kids.
Maybe she... Or like maybe she's a witch, and she wants to sacrifice her kids and knows something about her own mom. Oh, No, the daughter. She wants to enlist the daughter in her own witchcraft of and females. So they want her to eventually kill the her brother, which is her son, the mom's son.
All right, I'm just letting this be known right now. If Rob is right... If Rob is right.
What am I going to get?
I will buy the beers for the next 10 podcasts if Rob is right.
This is exciting.
That's big. That's big. If he just called that, and I don't know why I'm screaming at Rob's phone right now.
You're really screaming at my phone.
And where the recorder is here, it's not even on the phone. I will buy the next 10 beers for the podcast if Rob is right. That would be insane.
That's something that...
And I would also say you need to teach a course in Shyamalaning.
I feel like I'm an expert.
An M. Night expert if you got that right. But I don't know. I mean, it seems good. I just brought this up to Rob, though. The premise of the movie, you know, you're with a family member, someone's safe, and they don't appear to actually be what you thought they were, and in the end it's a horrifying experience. There's a movie coming out literally the same day as The Visit, this Friday, called, Mommy...
Oh, it's like Mommy.
Mommy's... Oh, I really wish I knew the whole title.
Just look it up.
I'll look it up real quick. Rob's going to talk because
I'm
going
to talk while Mike looks this up. It's funny because after Mike looks this up, we're going to both say which is our most disappointing M. Night Shyamalan film, so maybe we can wage war.
Good Night, Mommy is a movie that, again, you have to watch the trailer. It's horrifying. It's really scary. But it's about these two sons. Their mom comes back from a surgery. Her face is all bandaged up. And she's not acting like mom. She's a little off kilter. This movie is the same thing, but the kids are with their grandparents, who seem a little off kilter. And I think it's going to be the battle of these strange family members. And I think Goodnight Mommy is going to wipe the floor with The Visit.
It's strange because that's coming out this weekend too.
This weekend it comes out. Limited release though. The Visit's
wider. Well, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
We can do a double feature.
Oh, I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I can handle the twists.
All the twists. I was going to ask you, what would have to be the minimum Rotten Tomatoes score for you to see
The Visit? 60.
So if it's 60 and above, you would see The Visit.
Yeah, because the trailer does look really scary. Mm. And you know what, again, you know, if he gets me, he gets me. Shame on me, I should have learned by now. But it does look pretty creepy.
It does
look
creepy. I would like to see that.
And I'm also, I mean, I'm a horror film junkie. I don't know if Rob is as big of an enthusiast as I am, but I love horror films. I love a good horror film. And besides It Follows, which I think we mentioned last podcast.
We saw that together.
At least in the last maybe 2 years, since maybe The Conjuring. It was that year when The Conjuring came out, and Insidious 2, and Sinister. Like, those were all really quality horror films. There really hasn't been much going on in the horror film genre.
That's true.
So I'll embrace it. If they get good scores, we'll see both of them. I'll bet this, Goodnight Mommy gets the better score over The Visit.
Because we see it's already at a 77.
Yeah, it most likely
if it drops,
will.
It'll drop to like a 70. Yeah. But probably not less than that. I mean, there's a good chance that Goodnight Mommy has a better Rotten Tomato score. But podcast listeners, there's a good chance we might see these movies before we podcast next time. So get ready.
Get ready. Get scared.
You want to just do this? We haven't waged war yet. I might want to wage war.
Let's
with
just
you
wage
right
war.
Now. You want to just flip cards right now?
Let's just do
for,
it
for no reason.
We're going to say our worst Shyamalan movie? Because I feel like we're going to agree on the same one.
I feel like
we
are, too. This is terrible.
And I think we'll agree on the best.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
The worst twist.
The worst twist?
In a Shyamalan movie.
In a Shyamalan movie. Okay. Mine is going to be Lady in the Water.
I'm going to go with The Happening.
But is it really a twist? I feel like there's no twist.
That it's Mother Nature in the end killing everyone? All right, fine. The Village. I hate
okay.
The Village.
All twist. Right. We're going to wage war. Mike is wrong.
No. Rob is wrong. And ready? Oh, wait. So what is the Lady in the Water twist? Because I've never seen it. What's the twist?
It's
there is no twist. The twist is there is no twist.
There actually really isn't a twist. I don't even remember now. I just wanted to say lay it in the water.
No, give me a... Alright.
No, all I remember, there's something with cereal boxes. Like, this sounds right. So ridiculous. But it's like they have to have this girl, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, she has to be, like, sent off to her land or something like that. And everyone, the whole community, the whole, like, gated, like community has to chip in to help her achieve this somehow. And this kid is, like, reading some kind of clues on cereal boxes. There's, like, a dude that only works out one arm, so he's, like, bulky on his right arm, but really skinny on his left arm. He has to, like, be, like, the protector. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's just a bad movie, man.
Yeah,
I just want to say that maybe the twist is that there really isn't a twist.
The twist and is that's he was able to get money from people. He duped people.
So Lady in the Water versus
The Village. Happening. No, I'll go with the village twist. Where they're in a reservation. And it's not a real village.
The Village had two twists, though.
I'm going with that one.
That was the cheapest twist ever.
It's not really in olden times, it's modern times, and they're at some preserve. All right, ready?
Set. War! I win.
Lady in the Water wins.
Lady in the Water is the dumbest twist.
So, if Rob can't even say the twist, then it's that.
I do have one more Shyamalan fact for you before we leave, and I think you're going to find this one very interesting, because I did.
Okay.
M. Night Shyamalan actually had the idea, and he was planning to film it, and I think he might have gotten the okay for a while to direct the movie adaptation of Life of Pi. But...
And I'm happy he
did. Let me just read you this quote, because this made me have so much more respect for M. Night Shyamalan, surprisingly.
Okay.
He said, "I love that book. I mean, basically... it's the story of a kid born in the same city as me." Then he was like, "But I was hesitant because the book has kind of a twist ending. And I was concerned that as soon as you put my name on it, everyone would have a different experience. Whereas if someone else did the movie, it would be so much more satisfying. Expectations, you gotta be aware of them. I'm wishing them all great luck." He knew that if his name was attached to it, people are gonna be like, "Where's the twist?" And they might have... Because there was a twist at the end of that movie.
One of my favorite twists.
One of the greatest endings in recent memory. But if M. Night Shyamalan did it, and on top of him probably messing up the entire movie.
Yeah.
His name attached to it, you're going to think twist right from the get-go.
The entire movie.
And that would have ruined it. So I'm so happy.
Because the best part of that movie is that it's very subtle.
It's a great movie throughout. But
how they mention the twist, it happens.
Blows your mind.
It's dialogue for a minute, and then that's it.
So, I just want to thank M. Night Shyamalan for stepping away from that.
M. Night Shyamalan, good man.
Good man.
Let Ang Lee do it.
Hell yeah.
And he killed it.
He absolutely made a great movie.
You should let Ang Lee make all of your movies, M. Night Shyamalan.
Even the Hulk. We're going to have an Ang Lee conversation one day.
Next time.
All right, thanks for listening. We actually have a blog now. It is... waronpopculture.wordpress.com. Please, if you listen to this, leave us any comments or feedback. We're also on iTunes, so go search for us. And we'll see you. Actually, we're going to do a very brief podcast episode after the Emmys.
And that should be really good.
That's going to be fun.
Because I'll be at a wedding before that.
So Mike's going to be a little tipsy.
I'll be a little tipsy.
And I'm going to be very angry at all the Emmy Awards. So it'll be fun to listen to. So check us back then. But for now, we'll bid you farewell.
And we'll leave you with this. That was so loud.